My Dear Fiona by Frances Rosenfeld. Chapter 29, Telling Tall Tales. Night falls quickly in Orkney at the end of October, and we drove quietly past the locks and the stones to reach the storytelling center, braving a bone-chilling rain that promised to turn into ice soon. We advanced through the darkness in silence, lulled by the rhythmic motion of the windshield wipers, like the last two people on Earth, who reached the limits of their familiar realm and dared to venture into uncharted territory. After a while, we lost track of time and distance, immersed in an inky darkness whose substance was uniform, unmeasurable, and thicker than molasses, and which closed behind us as we passed through it, like the depths of the sea. The passing of time is a measure of change, and it does not apply to a medium that stays the same, which shows no sign of differentiation or movement. In the blackness of that night, we were outside of time itself, traveling to another dimension maybe, I couldn't tell. How long till we get there? Denise broke the silence. 10 minutes, I think.
You said that 10 minutes ago.
Just keep driving, Denise. This is the only road that leads there and we're on it. We'll get there when we get there.
Are you sure we didn't pass the place?
We should have arrived by now, the directions said half an hour.
It's only been 15 minutes, I surprised myself.
The watch said 15 minutes, but it felt like forever and no time at all simultaneously, like the beginning of the world. The clouds parted and the giant full moon cast its rays on the Loch of Stennis, turning its waters to shimmery quicksilver.
See? We're just past the locks. 10 minutes.
The moon went back behind the clouds and we were immersed in the inky night again, and time stopped passing altogether, turning minutes into centuries. It could have been any moment in history. I almost felt your kin, my princess, human or otherwise, watching us drive past the ring of Brodgar, protected by their silence. I started worrying I won't be able to adjust to the long Arctic nights which twist daily living in ways we're not accustomed to, turning consciousness into a series of quick flashes of light between long stretches of sleep.
We're here, Denise uttered, relieved, her eyes pinned on the little light in the distance like to a beacon of hope.
Her relief upset the winter spirit, which turned the chilly rain into noisy ice pellets. The light in the distance felt a lot closer. We underestimate distances in the dark and have a completely altered experience of space and time in the absence of familiar sensory experiences. I had the strange feeling, after a while, that we were chasing a will-o'-the-wisp, and we were going to end up stranded in a bog as punishment for our boldness. We kept driving, and it felt like an hour had passed, while the watch got stuck in a different time stream, one much slower and obviously divorced from experience.
Louise, Denise started hesitantly, maybe this isn't such a good idea. Maybe we should turn around and go back.
Don't be a wuss, I retorted, not very convinced. We're almost there.
Almost where?
Sister, we drove for hours. I don't care what your watch says, this is not a normal place we're in anymore. I don't think we should venture here.
What, now you're worried you'll be taken with the fairies? I thought you didn't believe in this stuff.
Believe, don't believe, this doesn't feel safe. It was your idea, you know. If we get lost in the other world, I'll hold you responsible.
I see you already mastered living in an alternate reality, Denise, where this was my idea, and I dragged you here by force. Just keep driving.
The night ride had started feeling kind of creepy, to tell you the truth, and way too long to justify rationally, and I half expected to see stuff that didn't belong to normal reality at any moment.
We're out of gas, Denise said in a white voice devoid of all emotion.
Don't even joke about that.
I'm not joking.
I love my sister dearly, but there are moments when I want to choke her. They are rare, but they happen, and this was one of them. I kept telling her to fill the tank, but she got mad at me for nagging her, so I had to trust she'd act responsibly.
And that's what makes me delusional.
You didn't fill the tank?
I jumped, outraged.
I filled the tank right before we left.
Denise, the trip is 15 miles. Don't lie to me.
I swear on my life.
What do you want me to swear on?
I'll do that.
I looked at the gas gauge, which said the tank was empty, and at my sister, who looked terrified, and put off the rear whooping for later, when we're safe, preferably inside a place with a door and a roof.
What should we do? She asked in a tiny dry voice.
Well, at least we're within walking distance. We'll go towards the light and find help.
That's exactly what the last person who ended up in a bog thought.
There are no bogs in this area.
The lock, then. I'm not getting out of the car.
Denise, we can't stay here all night.
Why not?
It's freezing. With the engine off, we'll be encased in ice by morning. We won't be able to get out of the car.
Have you not heard the story of the Spunky? Serves me right to follow you around enchanted places in search of long-lost ghosts. Your dead Fiona is carrying her lantern on this road and we're going to end up in the lake. Nobody will ever be able to find us again.
Since when are you an expert in ghosts?
Besides, Fiona wouldn't lead me into danger. We've known each other too long.
I'm not getting out of the car. What if something is waiting for us outside?
Something like what, pray tell?
I don't know, a Nuckalavi. They're out and about now that the equinox has passed, you know?
Of all the times to brush up on Orcadian folklore, you chose now to entertain the local superstitions? There is no such thing as a Nuckalavi.
Yeah, and there is no such thing as a ghost, either, and yet we both saw one.
I thought you said you saw nothing.
Please, sister, please, can we just stay in the car? We'll figure things out in the morning.
What if your mythical malevolent spirit grabs us car and all and dumps us in the lock?
Do you think they can do that?
Denise asked, her voice shaking.
How old are you?
I asked, amazed. Can you try restarting the car? Maybe we get lucky enough to make it to the center on fumes. It's not that far.
Denise's face was devoid of hope, but she obeyed. The engine started at the first key, purring like a contented cat. I looked at the gas gauge again. The tank was full.
I told you I filled it. Denise forgot her existential terror and returned to her old self with an emotional elasticity that made me think of a rubber ball.
She started driving, blabbing like a chatterbox and making me regret the sudden return of her wits.
An unexpected turn ended our journey abruptly, dropping us at the front door of the storytelling center.
See? Piece of cake. Denise took credit for the successful journey, which lasted indeed a little over 30 minutes.
I gave her a dirty stare and looked for the doorbell. There wasn't one, so I tried a timid knock on the door before I opened it.
Six smiling faces, cheeks flushed from the mulled heather ale and the proximity of the peat fire welcomed us.
Welcome, welcome. Come sit by the fire and warm up. It's really coming down, isn't it? Did you have trouble finding the place?
By the time I started thinking how to answer, a steaming cup of mulled ale was placed in my hand.
The story we interrupted resumed, describing the eerie lights, said to be not of this world, which appear over the locks or try to lure stranded travelers to roads used for funeral processions, or which may be the very ghosts of those whose souls once rejoiced among the living.
We hope you liked our story, the lady next to me chuckled, pleased, with a knowing look in her eye and sat down, leaving the seat by the fire empty for another storyteller.
The next narrator settled in it and cleared her voice before starting to recite a traditional ballad written in the old language.
We couldn't make out much of its subject, it was hard to understand, something about an unfaithful lady who got rescued by her Selkie lover the night before she was sentenced to be burned at the stake.
And when that day came tae daha, day got a gloofy maybe seer, for ilka door stud open wide, and a door a de tour lay on to fleer, and day ran up, and day ran doon. And glowered a boot why a deer aim, the laffy fair wees clean awa, and never mare bay mortal seen.